The Dose of Fett Codcast, show number 139 for Friday, November 9th, 2018. So who's going to start?
Spinner will start. Hi, everybody. I'm Spinner.
Hey, everybody. I'm Leia. It's good to be back and fat.
Leia Schneeberger Rollins or Leia Rollins?
Yeah, you have to go last name. I should, yeah.
I'll change it when I get to it. I'm fast on a bike, like,
are we supposed to call you Ms. Rollins, Mrs. Rollins? I mean, let's get it down.
Yeah.
Is it Mrs. Rollins?
Do you have to break all your old records?
Not like Mrs. Robinson, but maybe someday.
Are you asking us what it is?
Or? Are the Schneeberger?
My vote was for Rollinsburgers, but the man wasn't down with that.
The newest Green Bay downtown restaurant.
Something about masculinity.
I don't know. I know some dudes that hyphenate.
I do, too. Yeah.
We have a tester that
Rollinsburger
hyphenates.
Is not a hyphenation. It's a combination.
Oh.
Man, why didn't he go to Schneeberger?
Yikes.
Yeah, that'd be hard to say.
I've been waiting a long time to get rid of that last name.
Have you?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Leia got married.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, married.
Did you race down the aisle like you talked about?
None of that business.
No.
In fact,
I did almost trip over the dress on the way up the stairs because I'm so short.
Oh, isn't somebody in charge of carrying that?
Well, it was the front. My feet were getting caught on the front of the dress.
And you got married where there are some really sadistic, non-fun.
Yeah, Blue Mountains State Park, toughest trails in Wisconsin, I'd say.
I would not say that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trails in Wisconsin. The toughest?
They're greasy.
You're going to dab down quite a few times if you go out to Blue Mountains and don't know what you're doing.
We were talking about how that mound just sweats in the summertime.
It does. Like, it's true.
It doesn't even have to rain for it to be like all snotty and greasy.
Haven't been able to ride it all year.
Because what? Close
it? Yeah, it's just constantly closed or what?
They do close it a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
So
where was the reception?
Could I?
The troll? Angry troll? Grumpy Troll?
The Boulder Brew Pub.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So, my name is Gomez.
Oh, hey. Hey, Gomez. Didn't see you over there.
Bikes. And this is our show, The Dose of Fett. And
today's show, by the way, is brought to you by NV Composites. NV just released their M685 wheel set. The M685 is for those who ride and race their fat bikes year-round. Need additional volume for backcountry expeditions or simply don't want a snow-only carbon wheels? The M6 series trail-rated full carbon mountain bike wheel is available in both 26 and 27.5. Feature industry 9 hubs and are equally at home in the snow, sand, rock, or dirt. Learn more at envy.com.
And now, it's As the Wheel Turns with Leia Rollins.
So, before we start this segment, I just want to let everybody know that we're high on cold medicine.
My nasal spray.
Nasal spray, that's what it was. Leia got us jacked up and stuff from Walgreens here before we started.
We all got allergy shots.
Hopefully USADA doesn't show up to our show today.
Yeah.
Botox.
Is this show USADA sanctioned? Are they going to...
Yeah,
we're in show. So if we're taking anything that's illegal or prohibited
right
in show, we could get sanctioned from our show for 2 years.
We have to go pee in the corner.
I'm the sanctioning body, so you pretty much got nothing to worry about.
That's good because that guy's got a lot of stuff in his system.
How do you say cannabinoids?
Cannabis.
Yep, you will go down for cannabis. System if you have a USA Cycling license.
Yeah, we know somebody.
How about beer? Will that do it?
Our
good friend Hollywood got USADA sanctioned for, and he races every race with a marijuana leaf jersey. Yeah.
How about Coca-Cola Zero Sugar? I'm all jacked up on that shit.
That's worse than everything in here.
They're definitely hiding some foreign substances in there.
Yeah.
That are not listed on the ingredients.
This Rhinelander Oktoberfest is better than that.
That's pure gold.
That's safer than this. Yeah, I don't know. This was on sale.
I almost brought you a whole cooler of beer, but I know how, you know, how proud you are.
I have a couple coolers of beer. I'll be sharing in Blackhouse this weekend. But so, yeah, let's talk about this. So in our last meeting when we saw Leia, she was not herself.
I was in a bad way, folks.
You were not happy. And it comes from
a hurt unit.
I'm the beer guy. Gomez is the fun guy. And Leia is the race girl.
Yeah, I'm race, and I almost wasn't able to race for 2 to 4 years.
Okay. And USADA, for those who don't know, is a United States Anti-Doping Agency.
Which I didn't know what that was until the day I got their letter. So don't feel bad if you didn't know what WADA or USADA or what a TUE
but is. When you go in and you win a race and they hand you the cup and they say you got to pee in there, I mean, didn't you think, oh, I'm being tested by you, by somebody?
I knew I was being tested by somebody, but I didn't know what USADA meant or anything like that. So I had gotten tested last year, too, actually, and I still didn't look up what any of this stuff meant because I didn't think it applied to me because I'm not a
– Yeah.
I don't dope.
You don't dope.
Right?
That's the big thing. Like, you assume that when they're looking for, like, drugs, like hard drugs, like steroids.
Yeah, like, they're going after pros and people where it means something. You know, I'm not
– Right.
In
people
some
who,
of these major races.
Who are on a program to both use performance-enhancing drugs and mask their use.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not blood doping or anything, so I never looked into what it was or the rules or anything like that. And after I got tested last year, I never got a letter or anything stating that I was clean. So I really didn't take any of it seriously.
Yeah, you wouldn't even think so.
I didn't even think twice about it. And so what happened was this year...
Yeah, let's back up a little bit into that. What happened?
The last week in August, I had my last Wars race, the Wisconsin Off-Road Series, was in Lake Geneva. It was Treadfest. And before the race, they said, hey, just so you know, you're going to get tested after the race. So we're all at the starting line.
And you're like,
and I'm like, oh, whatever.
That happens all the time. That happens at every race,
I
right?
got, well.
You've been tested before.
I've been tested before. I was like, okay, well, it'll just be like the last time I got tested.
No,
the race is over, and what they do is they have someone, they choose people to be tested, and it's usually the top couple of finishers. But this time, they even chose a couple of the Category 2 guys. So this isn't just elite Category 1 people that they were testing. They can randomly test anybody that has a USA Cycling license can be tested. Right, so
another reason never to buy a USA Cycling license.
I understand what they're doing. You know, they're trying to protect people that aren't cheaters and throw down on the people that are. But as far as mountain biking is concerned, there's not enough education on what this is or what it can mean to you, and it's for amateurs, not just professionals. That they can come and test. They literally will follow you around after the race, put you in a room, and then stand in front of you while you pee in a cup. They're literally standing right in front of you watching you pee. And then you have to fill out a bunch of paperwork, and they have 2 samples, and they send them in to be tested for everything that can be found on the prohibited list, which I never even knew what that was or what was on it, never even thought about it because I don't dope. So about 6 weeks after this, I get a letter telling me that I have, okay, what does this say here? An analytical test result, which means that I tested positive for a substance on their prohibited list. And then it goes on to tell me that I'm facing a 2 to 4 year sanction out of all USA or UCI sanctioned races.
All of related events.
And I will lose, you know, I'll be disqualified from the race that I was in and everything like that. And then they're going to post it online. So there's like a list mm-hmm. of everybody who's been sanctioned that's public. So one of their things is they want to basically publicly humiliate somebody for cheating. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here? Like, I don't dope. What's happening? And what it was is I have allergies. Like, I have really bad allergies. I do the shots. I've been taking them for 4 years. I do Allegra 24 every single day. I have nasal sprays that I use constantly.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're all balled up on right now.
Nasal sprays. We shot it up before we started.
those things hit you like a brick.
A nasal spray is technically a steroid, but it's not performance-enhancing steroid. But
it goes through your nostril, in one nostril and out the other, because I use it in a neti pot. Okay. Right. But So there's a lot of things that I do to try and curb the effects of the allergies that I have. But every now and then, so I have these like polyps in my nostrils that get inflamed, usually in March and late August. March because of the pollen counts are high, and then August because of the ragweed. So on Monday before the race, I go in because like I have the worst headache ever. I'm totally congested, and my doctor, he gives me a 5-day prescription of prednisone.
Do you want a beer while we're talking about this?
No.
Okay.
So he gives me a 5-day prescription of prednisone.
More for me.
Right.
Which is a very powerful anti-inflammatory. And so the idea was we're going to try and reduce the size of these polyps rather than go into surgery and have them removed. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. You know, and then so all of a sudden this drug showed up on the prohibited list.
Well,
I was tested positive for it because I had taken it.
Just the drug before. Or is that a piece of the drug or is that one of the ingredients?
No, that was actually
the
drug. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And prednisone is a common treatment for extreme cases of poison ivy.
I've taken it for poison ivy before, mm-hmm. poison oak. I also had an allergic reaction to a Synvisc shot in my knee a couple years ago. It's kind of like an oil lube for your knee, but it's got a chicken feather base to it, and I was allergic to it, so my knee blew up, you know? So they gave me like a 5-day dose of this stuff, and so it's a super powerful anti-inflammatory that people will take if they have like rheumatoid arthritis and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but it has really, really bad negative side effects, so you never want to take it for very long if you can avoid it. So I just happened to be on it for a couple days, and it's on this list. And so I'm thinking immediately, well, I'm just going to, you know, send them my prescription and I'll be fine. But they send me this huge packet with, like, the anti-doping code and the TUE instructions. And, I've got, like, a pile full of stuff. And I start reading through all this stuff.
That's a lot of reading.
And everything I'm reading is telling me that I needed a TUE. And what that is a therapeutic usage exemption. And you need to apply to that beforehand. I never even knew what that was or if that was an option. It's like, really? Even cared to check any drugs that I...
Nobody reads through that list of what's illegal before you get flagged. Right. I mean, happened.
Some nerd out there that might be going to pharmacy school. They would.
Or like,
I feel like in the road, people know about these things. Right.
In wrestling and like UFC and stuff, they have like a trainer who is supposed to be on top of that. And if you're making millions of dollars of fights, then somebody's going to read through that list and look at everything you're taking and like take the samples, and they actually have somebody test everything that they're taking before they go.
Because there's a lot of products that have stuff in there that's on the prohibited list but is not labeled on the products or the supplements. Like,
yeah.
People get busted for that quite a bit.
And there's another one, like if a company makes something in a big vat and they have all this powder in there.
Cross-contamination.
They might, you know, make one product that is illegal or has illegal, you know, ingredients in it, and then make another product but not completely clean the tank. And there might be, you know, a little bit left when it gets over. So that's how people get flagged too.
Yeah, and that happens quite a bit. So
are there any ridiculous things on the list, like marijuana or...
Marijuana is on the list.
Kangaroo meat? I don't know how marijuana is performance enhancing.
It's not, but it's, for some reason it's on the list. And so there is a list of everybody that's been sanctioned and for what drug and why, and not just in cycling, but in all of the USADA, like all the sports that are under that umbrella.
Fuck you, USADA.
And there are quite a few people that have been busted for pot. So imagine
in Colorado, in Seattle?
It doesn't matter if it's legal. I mean, Bronchade off the counter at Walgreens is on the prohibited list.
And the stuff that you got, was that off the counter or that was prescription?
No, that was prescription.
Okay.
So
you'd call your doctor and say, God damn it.
So at first I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to show him I have a prescription. I'm going to be fine. But then as I started reading and then I was reading about all the people and all their sanctions, it's like they didn't care that they had a prescription. They were still giving them a sanction. So that's when I started to freak out.
So USADA's position is typically if they flag you and say there's a potential violation, if it's overturned, USADA looks bad. So they fight to keep your first sanction, even if they don't like to overturn it.
No.
Right.
It clearly states that you are going down no matter what. And I read through probably 80 sanctions and the cases, and so frequently someone had a prescription but they didn't care. Now, on the other hand, prednisone is considered on the prohibited list for in competition only. A lot of these drugs that people were getting busted for are not allowed at any time. So, you know, more like the anabolic steroids and the testosterone. So they, you know, they're more about for real like muscle building, performance enhancing. Whereas
so Gomez is safe because marijuana is not competition only. It is competition
it's
only.
It's in competition only. So as long as you're not racing, you can get high
in between.
Yeah. So what I had taken, even though I didn't take it on race day, it was still in my system.
Did you do the B sample challenge?
I did that to buy myself some time on researching what I was up against.
Okay.
So what I did is I worked very closely with them. They were actually treated me really well and told me what I needed to do. And I provided them with like a 4-year history of medical records and what I go through with my allergies and a letter from the doctor and my prescription. And I still didn't think I was getting out of it based on everything that I'd read. And so there's some gray area. If you are a non-national athlete versus a national athlete. So if you are a non-national athlete, there's a chance that you can get away with no violation if you had a prescription and were able to prove that the drug was not used to enhance your performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a national level athlete, it didn't matter if you had a prescription or not. You had to have that TUE in advance or else you're going down. So then the question was, well, am I a national or a non-national? I mean, I'm an amateur. I don't know.
I'd assume you're a national.
And it ended up being that I was a non-national athlete. And
according
it was,
to USADA or according correct. To USA Cycling?
According to both.
Oh.
So because
what?
It was my first.
I thought you were a way bigger deal than that.
Stop it. Thank God I wasn't. Okay. So here's what
national
check
champion.
Out, but check,
okay.
No, I wasn't. I took second.
Mm.
So here's the difference. Here's
national runners up don't count.
Exactly. So if I had won nationals, I would have been considered a national level athlete.
Blessing in disguise.
And I would have been sanctioned for 2 years.
Jesus.
Right?
You had to give back all those millions of dollars. All those
yeah, because I'm making so much. Yeah.
Just the giant size checks.
But that's another big part of this. So what's a USA Cycling license cost and how much money did you win doing these races and how much does this shit cost you?
Yeah, about how much they're taking away from you. And that's why I'm speaking out about this because I tried to find on social media. You know, I looked up a lot of the people that had been sanctioned and they literally like they disappeared. Like nobody talks about this. And then I also was looking around and trying to search for any stories of people that went through this and got a no violation or like how did that go? And I feel like the people that got a no violation like I did also are very quiet because they're embarrassed anyway, even though they got off. And I feel like this is something that's why I'm coming out about this. I'm not like looking for sympathy. I'm sure their scrutiny doesn't matter. But people need to be educated. They need to know that even though you're an amateur and you're not trying to win a gold medal, you know, you hop on a bike and you're trying to be healthy and you get in a group ride and then somebody tells you to go to this race and you go to the race and they're like, well, you need a license to be in this race. And you say, okay, I'm going to get this license. You really don't know what you're signing up for.
Yeah. So
like they literally, by signing up for the license, they can test you at any time and they can take your ability to race away at any time should they find something. And so people need to know.
Yeah, let's just hold on there.
In their sanctioned races.
In their sanctioned races. And we talked about Fat Bike USA Cycling, Fat Bike Championships,
that
and the real championships. Yeah, but we talked about the one in Berkey, which is you don't need a license to participate in. So they're asking for money for a license so that you can pay to go to their races so that they can put you under the scrutiny of this. of USADA.
But part of sanctioning races is to make sure or ensure that there's safety for the participants and that there's an equal playing field.
Right.
So,
I mean, I get, like, yeah, absolutely. It's so that you're racing against other people that aren't cheating.
It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. But, is that what you're saying here?
But,
or,
you know, unsanctioned racing, that you could.
You can do whatever you want.
You could smoke meth every lap.
It doesn't matter. You can take whatever you want in any race that
you faster.
I don't know.
And I have nothing against what they're doing. My issue is that I've been racing mountain biking for 7-8 years, and I've worked my way up the ranks, and never have I ever thought about what could happen to me if I, you know, I got tested because I never. You know, I don't take drugs. I don't dope. I freaking barely. Right. I get drunk off 2 beers.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
so when
we've
I'm,
seen it.
So yes. People need to know.
Yes, we've seen that.
We've seen the effect of 1.5 beers.
It was a drink and a half. I don't know what it was.
If you get the license, you got to know what you're in for.
So what do you
have to literally check every single thing that goes in your body.
If you buy the license and you buy the USA Cycling license, do you think USA Cycling has responsibility to tell you what you're getting into?
Like that's what I'm saying. They need to do a better job of educating people.
Because you shouldn't check, and first place shouldn't check, and I don't know how many
like,
USA
where
cycling
was all
license
this information
are.
Before? And yeah. And I mean, I think of back when I was a Category 3 or 2, and I was just kind of getting into the sport, if something like this had happened, I'd been like, okay, whatever, bye-bye. And you could tell by some of the sanctions that there was a lot of guys that got sanctioned for 4 years simply because they refused to take the sample because they were like, screw you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a guy riding a bike.
Part of that education is your responsibility. Part of that education, I think, goes to your team. You know, like Broken Spoke should have
George,
known.
Read
if
up.
They don't even know. No.
I mean, it's an amateur team. And yeah, and that's the thing. I never got a coach. I never went pro. I didn't want to be subjected to that higher level of scrutiny and stress, but yet, even at the amateur level, you can get tested, and so you have to check everything that you're taking against this prohibited list.
Right. That list is bullshit.
As soon as you're taking.
Well,
big checks. You know, you got pictures of you holding
maybe.
Those big checks, man.
How much?
You're an amateur. No, you're taking money for racing. That's that's a pro. You get money for racing.
And we've seen your office. There's a shit ton of big checks in there. There's checks taller than you in your office.
To a certain extent, you're the victim of being so good at what you do so quickly. I mean, most people, it would take them 15 years to get to the level of racing that you've achieved in a very short amount of time. So congratulations.
But yet I was still so ignorant on so many aspects of, you know, the rules and the sport. And that's why I'm
ignorant
talking about this. Because
they make it hard to understand. I mean, because like you said, you're never going to know. Like, how much prednisone would you really have to take to make a difference?
I have no idea. Literally, I took like.
Ask Mr. Owl.
Who's a drug expert? Day ones, please call
10
us.
10 pages of scientific graphs.
And Dr. Ferrari, dude.
Dr. Ferrari.
From the Tour de France.
Well, I'd like to see
you
what
have to
actually
be a
makes
scientist.
A difference. Yes, you'd have to be. I'd like to see how
and
much
you
need to
take. And
that's
one of the things they state. They say within competition, it's on you to just make sure whatever it was that you're taking is not in your system at the time. And you better be careful because everybody metabolizes differently and doctors say different things and yada, yada, yada. It's like.
So I have one question. So this is USA Cycling. Mm-hmm. How does that – is that UCI events as well?
Those are included as well.
Those are included as well. So it's
what's
one
UCI?
Governing – that's the
the UCI is like the world one.
United Cycling International. Yeah. So it's the
– Is that the roadie version? USA Cycling is
no,
trying to
UCI
shove themselves.
UCI runs downhill events.
But it's
– Oh, Spinroma spilled his beer.
But UCI he didn't. And USA Cycling are both under the World Anti-Doping Agency. That's
gotcha.
WADA. USADA is one of the testing.
USADA, WADA, UCI, USA Cycling.
Mm-hmm. No, well,
okay. So
this...
that answers that question. The only other thing that I think that
I have two more questions
that I'd like people to know is this process made a person that never meant to dope or do any of this. It's like, how did that make you feel when that happened?
Oh
to
my
you?
Gosh. When I got, so I went through the steps of loss. Like at first I didn't believe it. It was, you know, it wasn't real. I'm fine. This is going to be fine. And the more that I read the code and everything and came to the conclusion that regardless of what I was doing, I was going to get sanctioned. In my head, I was going to get sanctioned. And
this was after your wedding.
This is right after my wedding. It was horrible.
Day after.
Yeah, pretty much.
How'd you get a letter on a Sunday?
Yes. No. Whatever, Spinner.
She had one day of nuptial
of happiness.
Bliss.
You should,
and you, then it,
you should,
and then it
you
was
should
hell.
Respond as like, oh, that was Leah Schneeberger. Leah Rollins has no violations.
That's why I kept my name Schneeberger for so long. No, but and then, you know, I'm reading this code and I'm like, oh my God, I'm a freaking criminal. They literally made me feel like I was a criminal for taking my medication. And then I got pissed because I was like, screw you guys. Who are you to tell me that I can't try and put a handle on my allergy? Like if I'm sick, I'm going to take Sudafed. If I'm in pain, I'm going to take a painkiller. And you can't tell me what I'm going to take. And I'm a freaking adult.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, I'm for sure getting sanctioned. I was like, I was for sure. I was getting sanctioned. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to come out and I'm going to get real loud. I'm not going to disappear. I'm going to be real loud so that people know how drastic that this can be. And they just need to be educated. And so like this interview, I'm going to post it on all my social media. I hope that people hear it and go to the USA Cycling website and go to USADA website and to the prohibited list and start researching this kind of stuff so that it doesn't happen to them. And I had to drop out of the New Zealand Pioneer stage race that I had registered for because I thought I was going to be sanctioned. Yes, and it's under those rules.
Whoa. Okay.
So that cost me $4,000.
So
because we were already paid up,
cost you $4,000.
Yes, because I had already paid our entry fees for this race, and
I don't
it
know
was
how
like,
much money you make, but that sounds like a lot.
It was a lot. It's a lot of money. It hurts really bad. But at that time, the date where you could get at least like 25% of your registration fee back was in October, and I'm like, honey, I feel like I'm going to get sanctioned no matter what. I don't think I'm getting out of this. So
you should sue.
We took the registration out, and then we couldn't get back in.
Wow.
Because we had lost it. So yeah, this was like really bad. So I did come up with a no violation. Okay, with everything that they did, I mean, with all the medical records, I'm in no violation. But if I had, you know what else would have happened? That last race in the War Series, I needed to win that to get enough points to win the series.
Mm-hmm.
So if that race had been disqualified, I then lost the series title.
What happens then? They give it to second place?
I don't know what would
happen. Then USADA comes in and makes her pee in a cup,
but
and she loses the yellow jersey.
I mean, it
We've
was
seen
horrible.
This before in France.
Like, I mean, all I'm saying is just research and know your stuff ahead of time. Because there's cat two
How
guys.
How many people take it as tested. Seriously as you do, though? I mean, this just sounds like no fun.
No, well, so my plan was not to quit racing. I was just going to do all the races that aren't under USA Cycling. So, for example, I was already planning on doing the Epics,
yep.
like the Grand Junction and the Whiskey 50 yep, and those yep. kind. And I called the race director because I didn't see anywhere in the rules.
Cimarron Chacon.
But I called him directly. I was like, do you allow, I mean, are you under this?
Do you allow party people into your races?
And he was like, as long as you register for the amateur, you can be in. So I basically went and double-checked with all the races I wanted to compete in to make sure that I could.
So now they're all looking at you like one of us now.
Yeah. You can be queen of Gnome Fest. Now, you can be mayor of next Gnome Fest.
So now Spinner's going to be race.
Yeah, now I'm going to be, we're in trouble.
And I'm going to be doper. Yeah,
I thought I was doper, man.
You're fun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, holy shit. So what do you think about now that, how do we avoid this going forward? I mean, not everybody's going to read that entire list and say, I want to do this race. I'm going to read everything there is to know. Because
USADA failed.
No, USA Cycling failed. And hiring USADA, I've dealt with USADA before. Was it hard to pee in front of somebody in a cup?
It was horrible.
I know. And you had to drink a lot of water to try to pee.
Oh, my God. You're so dehydrated after the race. It was like 95 degrees. I'm totally dehydrated. I had to.
And they tell you not to drink too much water because that'll mess up your results, too.
Just drink.
Yeah. Well, I had to do the same thing.
Mere mention of being dehydrated caused Spinner to open another beer.
No, I had to do it too for wrestling. Somebody has to watch the pee come out of you, and they have to stand and watch. You know how hard it is, and so he's watching you. Not only that, but he's staring right. And you're like, ugh, that's so weird.
I mean,
could you just look away for a minute?
Yeah. They don't. They don't.
And then you get the vial of baby pee.
Yeah. No.
When you register for a license, they should send you the rules.
Just so you're aware that we can totally fuck you over if we feel like it.
Right.
And
a tiny hologram
this other
to follow
guys,
you around would be better.
Our friends can fuck you over if they feel like it. Because, yeah, prednisone. And I know they're like in the UFC and stuff, there's a guy that ate kangaroo meat, which has a different kind of chemical, and he got flagged by USADA for this. I mean, I think that the list of shit that
even with like in Mexico, this guy got busted for a steroid because they gave it to the cows, and then he ate that cow meat.
Yep.
I don't know, and maybe he's just trying to cover it up, but yeah, it's as simple as that. There's so many cases of people where they were just taking these pre-workout, and there's like pre-workout powders, and they don't put all the ingredients on the label.
Yeah.
So people were getting busted for that. This one chick, she took something because she would get sick on flights. Hmm. And she had to fly this race, so she took this drug.
Motion sickness type.
Yeah, it was
of
like
drug,
a motion
right?
sickness drug, and that was on the list.
Yeah.
Interesting to see like a pamphlet that says, if you're going to race, don't take these drugs, these over-the-counter drugs.
Right. Well, and they have a list of everything. They have a prohibited list.
She is digging through a stack of papers here.
Yeah, they have it. And it's on.
You are extremely organized, I will say.
You know, they have the website. So it gives you the list of everything that's prohibited in competition and out of competition.
And you have highlighted
things
in there.
You just need to know. Yeah. On. I'm like, I'm researching the hell out of this thing.
What is that?
So this is prohibited.
Can you read that highlighted title there?
Oxylofrene.
There's a second word.
Methylsulfurine.
That's what scientists call methamphetamine.
No, I think methamphetamine is actually called methamphetamine.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, like you said, marijuana. If I'm racing and somebody is stoned and they kick my ass, Take it, dude. Like, you earned that.
There are so many people on the sanction list for pot. Well, oh, my gosh. That was the biggest one.
That's the dumbest thing ever. It should be legalized. I don't do it, but I wish I did because I think it's healthier than beer.
Many of your friends wish you did as well.
It happened once in
Hayward. They told that story at my party. Yeah.
That's why I'm not allowed to do that.
Synthetic... Cannabinoids?
Cannabinoids.
How do you say it? See, cannabinoids. I told you it was a weird...
You know, hops are a cannabinoid as well. A lot of people...
Tetrahydrocannabinol. Beer, you know? Well, yeah, is I think... Beer? Yeah, smoking weed is probably... Or there's edibles, whatever. It's probably a lot more healthier than chugging 25 beers every Friday
Yeah, this
night.
List is really long. So it's the 2018 prohibited list... The World Anti-Doping Code International Standard.
So
you can find that online.
Just what's a USA cycling license cost?
I don't know, $60 or something.
So that's $60 that you paid, and then you have to pay to go into every race.
Yeah. Yep.
And then that cost you a $4,000 trip to New Zealand.
Yeah, that sucked.
Sue those fuckers.
You know, who I think we should have probably head in on this is Chewy. Chewy would just would have been.
Oh my
crazy.
God! This would be a 3-hour show. He's got something to say about all that.
I know.
Every he just got back from Single Speed Worlds, and every plate number was 420.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, everybody got 420 when you showed up for your plate.
Their thing is ignorance is not a defense, right? Like it's on you to know the rules. I'm just
fuck you.
Saying, go
fuck
find
you.
The rules.
Educate. Fuck you, USA That's Cycling. What I mean. Educate. It's not. You know, it's in the readings. Like, here's pay us money. To pay us
education
money.
Education.
To pay us.
Here's
money.
Your education right now. Educate yourself. But yeah, I feel like they should send you something when you get the license.
Personal responsibility. There's your team and there's USA Cycling. They all have some sort of contributing responsibility. If they're going to set rules, they need to explain those rules to the competitors.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have athletes represent your company and your shop, you should certainly be up on those rules as well. And then finally, you know, personal responsibility. And I know that you take a ton of responsibility for your own actions. So I think it's just a really unfortunate thing that fortunately has a really happy ending, right?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the letter saying no violation in the subject line. I just cried.
What was their explanation for that?
It was because I had the history laid out of the allergies and the prescription and evidence that
You're
it was
not a
used
national
for
athlete.
Medication, you know, medical purposes versus performance enhancing. And because I'm not a national, because I'm a non-national athlete, in your first finding, if you can prove all that, it's a no violation.
But that was a shit ton of work for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've got stacks of paper. I mean, I literally sent them my full medical history for the last 4 years. I wasn't messing around. They got it all.
But you're
Read
still
that.
You're still changing your name to Leah Rollins.
Yeah, let's start all over again. But yeah, so now what's going to happen if you want to race next year and you have a cold?
So you get a therapeutic use exemption.
For everything.
For everything,
Can you get
yep.
that for marijuana?
No.
Can you get that for beer?
No, those aren't prescribed by your doctor, dude. You only get the exemption if it is prescribed by the doctor.
Not in Wisconsin yet.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
I don't think CBD oil is on the list. Oh? That seems to be pretty hot around these parts.
Can
nowadays.
They? Yeah. Is that THC?
There's no
though?
THC in it.
There isn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
There can be, but certain varieties don't have any THC. The ones that they sell in Wisconsin, no THC.
Right.
Is that vegan THC?
But, I mean, we're going to have a review of that cannabinoid oil on the website next Monday.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, well, and, you know, surprisingly, it's not me that's doing that.
Yeah, well, so fortunately,
congratulations. I'm sorry you lost your trip, but I'm glad you're back to
your
normal
honeymoon
self
as well.
Thank you. But I'm here to say, you know, if you have questions or anything like that, hit me up. I want to help, you know. I want to make sure that this doesn't happen to any of my people.
Well, should we just say USA Cycling, get rid of USADA? This is bullshit. This is too much. There's got to be a different organization out there that isn't this hardcore.
I mean, who wants to race against a cheater?
It's a $60 license. I don't understand. Like, you're not winning millions of dollars here.
I don't know.
You've spent less than $100 to lose thousands, right? I mean, I don't see the value.
But they did get it right. They found the controlled the substance that was on the list.
But the process.
They looked at the evidence, and they came up with the right conclusion.
Innocent, but she lost a lot of shit in the meantime. And like you said, there's a lot of people on this list.
That is the definition of life, though.
But part of that is on me.
Moving forward and losing shit.
Because I should have known.
That would happen to me.
What was on the list?
I would go home and sharpen axes if this was happening to me. That's what happens. Yeah, anyways.
So, yeah, way to go. Way to get.
Free!
You were one of us for a little while. And
she
now,
was one of us.
And now you're back, you know,
she's
shining.
She's literally in a parking lot taking selfies, riding a bike with no helmet on. She ate nachos. She was, sitting at a bar.
I was a lost puppy,
listening
man.
To bluegrass, eating nachos. We're like, this is not
It was
not
bad.
Leia.
I couldn't even get on the bike. Every time I got on the bike to go for a ride, I'd just start losing it.
We've got to review that last bike review now, because now her style's changed. She's back in the saddle.
I could use all the packs.
Yeah. She's back in the saddle.
People loved that bike review, by the way. I had several compliments on it.
Oh, good.
We'll be right back with the Fat Bike News Desk, sponsored by the Huge Ass Fat Bike Race Series.
We're back with a Huge Ass Fat Bike News Desk, and this week our special guest is the director du sportif of the Huge Ass Fat Bike Races, Amelia!
Yeah! Just ended
I'm so glad you're here, Amelia. I missed you.
She'll love that.
I'm sorry I missed the last race.
Sportif, you have to like say it in Francais.
Kegel.
There you go.
Please welcome to the show, Amelia Kegel.
Well, hi there.
How's it going? Amelia is the director du sportif of the Huge Ass Fat Bike Race Series.
It's true.
And so tell folks who have never been to one of your races what they can expect when they attend a Huge Ass Fat Bike Race.
Yeah, Huge Ass is all about getting people outside all winter and fall long and exploring great places to ride a fat bike. So we welcome all ability levels. This is like, you know, we put race in quotations because it's really about like, you know, exploring a new place, meeting new people, drinking some good beer and having a nice time. You know, it's like a party with an awesome bike component to it. So, yeah, we really welcome all ability levels, and we got a little bit of something for everybody.
And the race courses are all over mid to southern Wisconsin. How many races are in the series this year?
So we've got 7 races this year, and we've just had our first one last weekend out in Lake Geneva, which was a blast. We started off by picking parks near all of our Wheel and Sprocket locations, because Huge Ass is kind of the brainchild of the bike shop there. And, yeah, we've kind of spread out and branched out throughout the year. So it's our fourth season going in, and this is a nice mix this year of some of our fan favorites, as well as a couple of new locations as well.
Cool. And this is one of the only race series that embraces Hammerschlagen and racing.
Yeah.
So every lap, right, the racer has to hammer a nail.
Yeah, you know, so growing up in the bike industry, Williamsburg was our family's business. I went to a lot of bike races, and they're pretty intimidating and stuff. But when we created the series in the beginning, we wanted to make sure that people never forgot to have a good time. So when we were looking into timing systems and everything. You know, there's a lot of races that do a great job with that. But we had just kind of wanted to return it back to, like, you know, like just some fun routes. So to make sure that we do, to count people's laps, and because we don't have a timing system, we want to slow them down enough so that we can see the race plate number on the paper plate on the front of your bike. And so we decided to throw a little German drinking game into the mix. So every lap, you have to pound a 3.5-inch nail into a board before you can continue on the next one. And, you know, I think it's awesome. It's just because, you know, just because you're good at bikes, maybe doesn't mean that you're the best at life skills. So it's a nice combination here. You have to be good at riding bikes, navigating through the woods, and also, you know, being able to pound in a nail, which is important.
Now, do the elite racers, do they bring their own left-handed titanium special hammer driving hammer blaster with them? Is there?
You know, I haven't seen it yet, but I wouldn't put it past.
See, I would think that our co-host Leia Schneeberger would have her own hammer. I know.
You know, that woman is incredible, and she's won a few hammers throughout the days in the series. It's awesome.
I know, I know. Yeah, believe me, I know. All about. I've been to a couple of your races, and I've seen how she schmoozes the guy to, like, get her a perfect nail and, you know, hold her hair back. Okay, now, bam.
I like it very much.
One shot.
You know, there's something fun about that Hammerschlagen viewing area. So, you know, even if you're not really into, like, bike racing, or if you're not quite sure if it's something for you, Hugest is also something really, like, you know, we encourage spectators, and it's a fun time to spend the day outside and, you know, kind of scope it out, see if it is something for you.
Now, because Wisconsin is the home of great beer, do you have a beer sponsor?
We do. We're returning to our roots with Milwaukee Brewing Company this year, and we're ever so grateful. You know, they've kind of gone through some expansion throughout the years and now have one of the most spectacular beer hall, beer tour spots right across from the old Pabst Brewery in downtown Milwaukee.
Ah,
so
cool.
We're excited to partner back up with them. They're good people.
Yeah, and this series is in its third year, right?
I think we're in our fourth year. You know, I can't remember when it was. A couple of races ago, we hit our 25 race mark, which was pretty awesome.
So which is like
putting on 25 races in the last
silver anniversary. So everybody drove in silver nails. Just kidding.
Yeah, we'll get fancier and fancier, I guess.
And this is put on by the good and wonderful folks at Wheel and Sprocket, right?
Yeah, it's a brainchild of actually one of our general managers, Matt, and he's a wonderful guy and was just kind of like, you know, Amelia, a lot of people are riding these fat bikes, but they don't know where to go. So
nice.
We started the series and just hopes of being able to get more people turned on to the sport. And, like, you know, fat bikes are our personal favorite types of bikes, and they make so much sense for our region.
I know.
We decided to put some fun behind it and some time behind it and throw some races.
Cool. Well, way to go, Matt.
Yeah,
so we'll have to, like, carry him around on a throne or something when we hit race 100.
You know, we always take three more.
All right, we'll carry you around in a throne.
Yeah. But it's a group effort, and it's just awesome. We've got such an awesome crew that continues to show up race after race and help you guys out and put on what we hope is a fun time.
Cool. Well, what is the next race that people can go to?
Yeah, so we're going over to Manitha Park, which is one of our backyard favorites. So it's in Waukesha, Wisconsin. It's an awesome place, and the trails there were built by some of our good buddies. So it's a good homage and a good place to ride.
Former Wheel and Sprocket bicycle wizard Ron Stawicki, right? The Ronsta.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see what you know, a park can do when they really embrace mountain biking and the culture that goes around it. So. It's an exciting place to be.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the show and taking some time away from your vacation in California. Now, you're on a train, but you're probably not in California, are you?
I'm a train going up the coast right now. We're headed over to Big Bend, Monterey, and doing a little tour. So.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, enjoy, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You guys are the best.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, that was Amelia Kegel. She is the representative, the directeur du sportif of the Huge Ass Fat by Grace series that sponsors this here segment of this here podcasting academic craziness. And now, for something completely different, we're going to talk about events that we're excited about.
Snow is coming!
Yeah, yes.
Maybe Thursday night into Friday, like the morning that this show gets posted, there might be snow on the ground, and I'm going to be riding in it.
Me
so
too.
I'm just going to start because I'm talking a lot now, and
need
I'm
a break.
Excited about
need a break? Are you getting cotton mouth? What's going on?
Gomez turn.
I'm on a roll. I was on a roll, and then Global Fat Bike Day. That's something that I'm excited about.
The question is, which one are you going to?
Holy shit, there's a shit ton.
I don't know, but I don't think I'm going to go to Santa Rampage. I did that the last 2 years. I don't know if I'm going to go up to see Uncle George, where I know that you two are going to be. Because, you know, we can split our coverage and spread the...
Are you going to Levis?
Yeah, I think I might go to Levis.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going
but
to Illinois.
But that nudie campground is closed down, so.
Well.
You're still going, huh?
Because of shrinkage. You can't do that in winter. It's for sale.
Did we have
that on the last show? Did we talk about the new business opportunities out there that I was saving for spinners, like the roller rink and the super sexy adult?
I was well aware that was for sale as soon as it was for sale.
Campground. We might have covered that in a previous show, but if we didn't, damn,
now you
somebody
know.
Jump on that. So, Leia, what are you excited about in the upcoming winter?
Ooh, I am so excited for snow. I hope we get so much snow. We're due. And if we don't, I'm just going to go north. Just going to keep going.
You're
going
to go
until
you find it?
Until I hit it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually Marquette,
Canada,
where the Polar Roll is going to be held in February, is supposed to get a couple inches this week.
You're going to get in, Spinner. Somebody's going to break their collarbone.
Is that all I got to do is go break somebody's collarbone and get in? I don't even know where I am on the list.
You could always be my hand-up guy.
What's that mean? I fix your seat when you break it? Your hand up?
Yeah, you got to give me hand-ups because I can't bring all the water because it freezes.
Like, Leia, here's some prednisone.
She's got the doctor's note.
Up, Scotty.
She can do it now. Oh yeah! No,
give me that good stuff. I know you got it, Spinner.
Do you come around a few times? No, it's a 35 miles.
No,
straight,
so
right?
You'd have to go to a couple different places to meet me.
I'd have to be faster than you. And then
well, we put you on an
spot.
E-bike to make sure that happens.
No, I'm gonna ride my.
He's gonna get in, and then there are gonna be two races.
Sorry, Cole House, I'm probably gonna get in.
He's so scared.
But I know you don't want biking. Anyone to know, but I might have told everybody that at my party.
Oh no, you did not tell my secrets.
That you're in secret, double secret training.
Mm-hmm. After
with the carbon frame.
Deep, and
oh
like
my God.
He's like down in the Baltic Sea in a Soviet submarine training.
She just outed me. I had to plan to wear like a full white spandex suit with a mask, and nobody could tell who I was
because nobody would tell.
Like the Stig of
yeah.
Of fat bikes.
What is that show? The European car show.
Yeah, it's a car show.
Yeah, the Stig.
Yeah, there's no incognito for you, pal.
So just the Polar Roll, that's what you're looking at? Not the fat bike Berkey?
The Berkey,
the race that bans fat bikes from their trails for 364 days a year, and then all of a sudden, hey, fat bikers, we have the biggest fat bike race in the world! Come on up!
I know, they pull it off.
You can't really knock them.
Do you see?
On that day.
There's trails. On that day. You see there's trail cams now? They have full-time trail cams. You can go to Berkey.com and look at the trails every day.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that means that you get busted if you go out there early.
Yeah.
Lame.
They do support the single-track system up there.
They have a shit ton of trails, and it's a big Canva thing. So, I mean...
That's the best part about the Berkey.
The locals
is
are cool with
afterwards.
It. I'm just saying, as fat bikers, should we support a race...
that bans fat bikers for the entire season, except for the one day that they charge you to go get in line and ride in a herd.
I hear what you're saying. But, like, so that trail is how many miles? 60?
It's 47K.
That is the race course, but that Berkey Trail. But how many snow-covered trail for fat bike do they have during the winter?
I don't know.
It's 90.
Shit ton.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, 47.6 is not allowed to ride on, but 90 miles are allowed to ride on. And they are groomed. They have groomers and stuff. And
single-track groomers.
They're wonderful. Yeah.
So they have a lot of trails to ride. I hear what you're saying, but I think that if you go up to Hayward Cable in the winter, you're going to be like, oh, I can't ride the Berkey Trail? Fuck you. And you're going to be like, no, you can ride these other 90 miles.
I said that. But
you did say that.
But there's also that things like how much is, you know, they get 1,500, 2,500 people to go there. It's a five-figure chunk of cash that you're paying the people that forbid you to ride their ski trails.
No, you just have to register on Black Friday.
Yes,
or Cyber Monday. It's really cheap. It's like $50.
Somebody told me that.
Oh, well, why aren't you excited about that?
Boom.
I already paid because I didn't know.
Actually, I can't get in. I'm broke.
I didn't know.
Because
I'm SADA.
He wants to be
broke.
Oh.
I'm not going to be doing any races because I can't get I can't afford to.
And then Spinner told us what he's excited about.
I did. Or did?
The Sweaty Yeti?
Well, yeah. Well,
didn't you bring up
Yeti?
Blockhouse Roll?
Blockhouse Roll is this coming weekend.
Didn't tell us that, dude.
Yeah, I did. Well, so, yeah, it's also a Movember Foundation for Men's Health. You need to get checked out. You need to go to a doctor. They need to stick a finger in your butt. Because
what?
That might kill you if that doesn't happen. Anyways. But it's for the Movember Foundation. And, yeah, so that might be a fat bike race if we have snow on Friday. So... That's a big thing that I'm doing. But
how many miles is that trail?
Well, there's a 5, a 10, and a 15.
And so it's a 5-mile course riding around in circles.
Yeah.
5 miles. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a climb there that they call
Leia.
Leia has no trails named after her. Remember we talked about this? There's a
we should
Kelsey's
that.
Camp. There is not a Leia's.
We're going to make that happen.
What goes
I'm
with Leia?
I'm going to pick one.
Leia's.
Lane.
Straight shot. That's what that sounds like. But that is in Platteville, so if you want to come to Platteville and race in the first, get ready for your cold, test out your cold gear.
Oh, it's going to be so cold.
It's going to be cold.
Get the toe warmers in those boots, y'all. Yeah. Don't mess around with the toes.
Okay. And then I am actually not doing Global Fat Bike Day. I have never understood this. What was first, Santa Rampage or Global Fat Bike?
Santa Rampage.
Only in Milwaukee? Or is that there's going to be one in Rochester. Chewy's putting on Santa Rampage, Rochester, so I'm going to that.
But not on the same day as Global Fat Bike Day. It's the weekend after.
So
Chewy's is.
December 1st.
Correct. No, that's the day of Global Fat Bike Day.
Do we need to get out our phones? Because I asked Chewy, I'm like, that date looks different. I think it is.
I thought Chewy's was the next weekend.
That's what I told him. He's like, no, I changed the time from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. I'm like, really? Because
that shouldn't change the
days jump forward 7. Like,
so we just had daylight savings. Is it Thursday today?
So, yeah. I don't know. How do I look this up?
But you can do both. You can just be like dressed as Santa and be doing Global Fat Bike Day all at once.
Santa have all these... Rob 2018 Santa Rampage Rochester is December 1st.
Oh, well. So it's the same day as Global Fat Bike Day, but people got to like break the paradigm of I need to get together and ride single track on the snow on a perfectly bluebird 20 degree day on Global Fat Bike Day, cuz that might happen, but I hate to be the one to tell you it might not happen. Mm-hmm. So any old ride is a Global Fat Bike Day ride as long as you have fun.
Well, we're usually on the sandy beach in Manitowoc.
Yeah.
There's no snow yet.
Like 2/10 of a mile that is legal to ride up there.
Yeah, but I've been up there and that's a lot of fun.
I thought it was more of a, you know.
Bring your swimsuit.
More of a George's hot tub party.
Yeah.
I was never
if
there.
Dave is
well,
there,
okay, I was.
Punch Dave in the face in a bikini because you'd be Facebook famous. You've seen the video.
I've seen the video.
This is like how this show began. This is we're back.
You're like, this is so stupid. People love it.
I know.
We need to make sure everybody knows about this.
You know what? I had the idea, since we're going to be talking to people on the phone eventually with this thing, is I think we should just prank call people. We just call Dave Lunds.
Welcome to Global Fat Bike Day Radio. We're going to talk to you about what are you doing? He's like, I don't know, getting drunk at Dixie's? I don't know.
That would be good podcasting, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. If you met Dave, you would punch him. And I'm surprised you can put up with us. I don't know if Leia's ever met Dave.
I don't know.
He's a legend in his own living room.
But you guys talk shit about him all the time.
I guess we don't realize he's not here when we do that.
Yeah, we love Dave like a cousin. Yeah. Our show this evening has been brought to you by Envy Composites. Check out the Envy M6 Series trail-rated full-carbon mountain bike wheels, available in both 26 and 27.5 at envy.com. And Spinner wants everybody to know, it's not like the word Envy, it's like E-N-V-E.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And check us out on Instagram at fatbike.com.
At, there you go, yep. Till then, sweet dreams, bitches.